The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Bonnie Gray embarked on a journey that led to soul-shaking discoveries about her past.
He said, it's not because there's something wrong with your faith. Your faith in Christ has helped you overcome hard things. But faith is not just for the mountaintop experiences. Faith gives us the courage to go back and look at the broken things that we weren't able to face when we were going through them.
Well, I welcome you to life today. Betty and I are thrilled to have you, and our guest is Bonnie Gray. You may have heard her or of her. She's got a wonderful book. Now, would you listen to the title of it? Sweet Like Jasmine. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to ask her what she means by that. Finding Identity in a Culture of Loneliness. She was perhaps surprised to know that I'm the product of a forced sexual relationship on a 40-year-old hospice nurse. Most of you know that. And the doctor refused to abort me. Well, she was born in Chinatown. Her journey is indescribably remarkable. And you're going to enjoy listening to Bonnie. Bonnie, we're glad to have you.
Thank you so much, James. I'm so happy to be here with you, Betty. Also, I feel like I'm walking in a dream, because how did somebody like me end up here in Texas with you, sharing my story, my broken story?
Well, and you're on a Christian television show that presents real life today, every day. And the viewers who watch us love to share life today, every day, all over the world. So they're going to love to hear your story. Take us on the journey. Tell us about your journey and why you wrote this book.
When we first met this morning, you said, "Where's your home, Bonnie?" And, you know, that just really struck me. I really felt I never had a home because my parents emigrated here from Hong Kong, and I was born in Chinatown. You know, my mother was not a loving mom. Mm-hmm. And that's so hard to say, because in our Christian culture, we feel like we have to have this perfect story, but yet that's where God met me. He met me in this home that was just so toxic. And when my father left when I was 7, James, another piece of my story fell apart. So even when I went to church, I felt like there's all these beautiful families. Everyone had a father and a mother, but I didn't. So I kind of grew up kind of hiding those parts of myself and my story because I felt ashamed.
Mm. What put the shame on you?
I think we all want to have a nice story. And so all the places that I felt like I didn't fit in, I wanted to belong. I didn't want people to run away from me. I wanted them to welcome me. So I thought the way to share my faith is to share the mountaintop stories, how I overcame. I didn't share the valley stories. I felt like I never heard anybody share them before. And so that's why I wrote this book, because that's where God met me. God met me because He wasn't ashamed of me. And later on, when I went to college, my first year, I never had a boyfriend in high school, but I was a victim of sexual assault.
Mm. Wow.
Date rape. Mm. And this is the first time I'm even talking about it. You know, when I was growing up, my safe place, the only place that I could find I could be myself, was my journal. That's where nobody could tell me what to say or how to feel. And so I could write about it with God, and yet God's saying, "Bonnie, I want you to share your story." Now, what's odd about my story is that it happened during a time when I finally felt a loving, finally found a loving husband in my 30s. I thought maybe because I grew up without a father and I didn't have a loving man in my life, maybe I'm destined to be alone. Maybe the best I can do in this life is to be serving God, serving others, loving others. Maybe I won't find real love until I finally see Jesus in heaven, because I didn't fall in love. I didn't know. Maybe something was wrong inside. But when I finally found Eric, my husband, And I was finally safe, finally had two boys. I just wanted two boys. I named them Josh and Caleb to remind myself we're building a new legacy of faith. But I started experiencing panic attacks and anxiety when I became a mom. And I didn't understand, why am I waking up every 2 hours at night choking with panic attacks? I wasn't worried. I'm sleeping.
You didn't even know what was causing them.
I did not know at all. And I found myself in this weird state where who I was on the outside didn't reflect the loneliness of inside.
And so you really never had been healed of what was that loneliness or even a fear of not being accepted.
Yes.
For who you are.
Exactly. Exactly. And so God used, by his grace, my body as the last line of defense to say, Bonnie, no, I don't want you to stay silent anymore. So I was ashamed. I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want anybody to think I was broken. There's something wrong with my faith. And I went to a counselor. He was the head of a Christian counseling center of 100 therapists. Well, he said to me within 1 minute, he said, this is a classic case of PTSD. I said, PTSD, I've never even seen violence. I'm not a soldier. Why would I have PTSD? And he said, well, Bonnie, and this changed my life. He said, did you know that emotional and verbal abuse has the same impact as physical abuse? I never heard that before in my life. I said, no. And I was silent for the first time. I said, but wait a minute. Why is it happening now? I've been through harder times in my life. Okay? Why is it happening now? I have a loving husband. I put myself through college. I'm the overcomer. I'm the encourager. I was a missionary. He said, well, did you know a soldier, when he's on the battlefield, he's strong. He's helping others. He's solving problems. He's surviving and fighting and being brave. When does a soldier experience panic attacks?
When he comes home. Mm-hmm.
When he comes home. And he said, Bonnie, you're coming home. I get emotional. He said, it's not because there's something wrong with your faith. It's not because you're broken. It's because you've done good. Mm-hmm. You've done good, girl. Your faith in Christ has helped you overcome hard things. But faith is not just for the mountaintop experiences. Faith gives us the courage to go back and look at the broken things that we weren't able to face when we were going through them. And I was freed up to know that there's no shame. I'm here now. I'm not ashamed anymore, James, because now I understand faith. Sometimes it takes greater faith to allow ourselves to fall apart in Jesus' arms of love than to pray that it doesn't happen. And suddenly I said, okay, God, I understand now. You don't just want me to be your missionary to help love others. My heart is your mission field. Thank you for the opportunity to share my story, because God said, you know what, Bonnie, I'm going to go back. I'm going to show you all those times and places you thought you were alone. I'm going to show you. We're going to go back a second time. I'm going to show you how much I love you. I grew up below the poverty line, okay? And we didn't have medical insurance. So we lived in Chinatown, so we went to have Chinese herbs. Herbs can only go so far, because when you need antibiotics, you need a Western doctor. Okay, so my mother, I had not seen my father. He left that morning. He packed a suitcase, as we all, you know, have those moments. The suitcase is there. I have no idea why he's leaving. He's peeling off in his green Olive Nova, screeching off the driveway. I'm like, Mom, what's going on? And my mother says, get over here. She's pulling out photos from the photo album, cutting up all the pictures of my father. She said, get over here, cut up these pictures of him. I don't want any pictures of him ever left again. And I am thinking, oh my gosh, I think I want to save one photo of him. I tried to slip it under behind me as she's wildly raging and cutting up photos like weeds under a lawnmower, you know, all over the living room. And she caught me. She said, what are you doing? Why, what are you doing? I said, I'm not in this photo. You're not in this photo. Can I just keep one photo of my father? And she said, no. She's like, you want to go live with him? She dragged me over to the phone. This is back in the day when we had those phones on the wall, okay? She's like, you go pack your bags. You go live with him. You love him so much. And right then and there, I stopped crying. I said, I'm fine. I don't need to know where he's going. You know, and we all have, I made a vow. I said, I'm never, ever going to need to find out. It's fine. He's left. I don't know why. We all make vows kind of like that, you know, to be strong. And in that moment, God was there. Because when I had my babies, I was looking for a birth certificate to sign up my second son so he can go, you know, make popsicle stick art for a few hours so I could get a break. I stumbled on my own birth certificate. I looked at it. I don't know. Have you ever studied your birth certificate?
I've seen mine.
Yeah.
Okay. I never really looked at it that closely.
Mine says legitimate. No. Literally.
Okay. See, I feel right at home with you.
Yeah. So what did you see?
It said Chinese hospital. I was like, what? Why in the United States is there a hospital named after an ethnicity? In fact, it's the only hospital. Mm. I was like, why? Second, said mother age 18 residence. It's on the same street as the hospital in Chinatown. I was like, that's odd. And I suddenly got curious. God used curiosity to have me find out. I realized my sons one day will ask me, where is grandpa? When did we come to America? And I had no answers. I never had the courage earlier to ask, you know, because of that vow I made. And God said, it's time for you to let go of that vow, Bonnie. I want you to find your father. Start out for my son, but you know, God's very, he's very compelling. He knew that I needed to find out for myself. So this story, Sweet Like Jasmine, is about what happened when I finally stopped running away from those secrets and tried to find my father. Where was he? Why did he leave me? And I was shocked by what I discovered.
You said you wanted to read something in the book. Does it touch on any of the things that you've already mentioned?
I think all of us has a moment where we're at the crossroads of life. We have to make a decision. Am I gonna allow myself to change my story, allow God to change my story? Am I gonna let go of those old lies that I believed about myself? And one of those crossroads was when I finally thought maybe I might have fallen in love in my 30s, okay? And did not think I would fall in love with a blonde hair, blue eyed boy because I thought I needed to marry a Chinese person who would understand my brokenness. And growing up Chinese American, but God said, no, I'm bringing you a boy from a lumber mill town that grew up in a lumber mill town, is in the military. Somehow we found ourselves. And at the time I was in my 30s. And he said, hey, why don't we go with some church friends to go ride the roller coasters? But the secret was my mother said, you can only stay with family on holidays. Family is first. And so I had to make a decision. Am I going to go? Now, this is the moment. Ama, that means Chinese mom. Ama, this is just a simple, fun weekend to go ride the roller coasters. I haven't dated anybody since college. I'm 31 years old. Maybe you're right. It won't last. But I like Eric. I won't know if I don't try. I've taken care of you my whole life. Why can't you be happy for me? I started crying because I was more scared than anything. Scared, I said it so bluntly. Scared because I'd never spoken to my mother this way. How stupid can you be? A man comes along and pays you a little attention and you think that makes you special? Ama scoffed. You've forgotten who you are. You're Bonnie Lee. You're my daughter. Ama screamed it at the top of her lungs, her eyes wild with rage, wailing with all her might like she was blowing air out of her lungs. Her face started turning purple, her hands balled up in a fist. I thought she would storm out and I would hear her grab her car keys and slam the front door as she often would, leaving me behind alone as a little girl in the house. Instead, Ama tore out, thundering into the kitchen, and I heard her opening and slamming doors shut. The next thing I knew, she flew back in the room with a glint of steel, brandishing a large pair of scissors in her hand. She shoved my sliding closet doors open, violently yanking my clothes off the hangers. She was shaking as she pulled apart my clothes by the neck openings to tear them up, haphazardly cutting up my clothes, running the blade of the shears against my clothes, and tugging at them like she was strangling the life out of them. Everything you have, everything you are, is because of me. There would be no you if it weren't for me. Alma screamed it at the top of her lungs while she clawed at my desk, clutching whatever she could get her hands on, ejecting everything. My room became a confetti of fury. I stood there choking in my tears, afraid to move or breathe, frozen and paralyzed. Confusion engulfed me. How can something so simple become so very wrong? A thought hit me like a siren. Something is really, really wrong. And I think we all have those moments where, you know what, all the stuff we carry, it hits us. Something is very, very wrong. I ran into the bathroom, James and Betty. I'm not ashamed to say it anymore. I was 31 years old. I was fearful for my life. Would my mom end it right there? Would she harm me? And in fact, she threatened suicide. She said, if you go, you'll come back to find me in a pool of blood. And right then and there, for the first time in my life, I called someone and I told them, I'm so scared. I can't handle it if my mom does kill myself, but it's like things can get so crazy. You realize at that point, I have to choose my own story. I'm the daughter of a loving father. This can't be what I was born to live. And in that moment, this is why I wrote this book. We all need someone. That vow I made to never need anybody, to never ask questions, was broken.
You titled it Sweet Like Jasmine. What do you want to imply coming out of all the pain to say sweet like jasmine? What do you say?
Well, when I was a little girl, in Chinese, the most popular tea is jasmine tea. It's fragrant. And the tea opens up as it steeps in the warmth of the tea. And so in the warmth of God's love, we can open our lives. We will be the beautiful fragrance of Christ wherever we go, because we can share the valleys, we can share the mountaintop of God's love and His peace.
You know, I want to just say to all of you, I want to pray for you right now. Father, this has been an amazing story. Bonnie is overflowing not only with the story, but the glory of Your grace. And Lord, she's told in a book that can impact so many lives, because there are many listening right now who identify. So Father, I pray You'd touch their broken heart. Touch them in the area of challenge and need and panic, or wherever they are, and take them in Your arms. You heard Bonnie talk about talking to God, but you heard her talk about God talking to her. That's the relationship God wants all of us to have. And I believe with all my heart that's what she's really trying to help lead people toward. To find identity in Christ, the peace that passes understanding, that He walks through every valley, even the shadow of death, doesn't matter what it is, He's with us. You know, our viewers are the most amazing people, and I can promise you, if some of them wanted to know how to contact you, you have a website they could go to if they wanted to ask you a question or find out if you're speaking somewhere that
Absolutely.
They want to go.
Absolutely. That's become my life passion. Okay. Exactly that. SweetLikeJasmine.com. I would just love everyone to be able to go there and to be able to see what this journey is for you. And I'm offering a free journal of faith. This is the very 28 questions that I had to ask myself on my journey of healing. And I'm offering this because these very stories that emerged from here became the book.
So they go to the website,
SweetLikeJasmine.com.
Okay.
Yes.
I want you to do that. Let me just say this about our viewers. When we've shown everybody that watches us on Life Today how we can share life today.
Yes.
How we can actually give people life today.
Yes.
And there are many people right now challenged for another day to even live. And you really do become the miracle answer to their need and their prayers. I think in many instances, especially the prayers of the mothers, I want you to watch and just look in right now on a scene that you have become the miracle answer to the challenge. Watch closely.
All across Southern Africa, mothers like these are facing an epidemic. An epidemic that slowly takes their children's lives. Not because of an illness or war. The children are dying from malnutrition. And even though these mothers know why their children are dying, they can't do anything about it. There's simply just not enough food to feed their family.
What we've seen here over the last few days is heartbreaking. We've literally seen children die. In this part of the world, death comes quickly, and it doesn't always come with much warning. That's why it's critical that we come in here, where they're at, and supply some kind of nourishment. And we have to have the support of our partners and viewers to be able to expand in areas like this, because it's critical. They're losing too many children. We've never seen this many go so fast in the short time we've been here. It really is desperate.
With our help, Mission Feeding will give a bowl of nutritious food to hundreds of thousands of children every day. Without our help, the children of Southern Africa will face this epidemic alone.
But they're not going to. I'm so grateful to see our son, now a grandfather himself, first little grandson, but to see how much Randy loves sharing God's love. And then, Betty, I don't know how many of you may have noticed the length of that line. Let me tell you something very unique about it. Those children know that food makes them feel better. It's the most exciting thing that happens. And if you've ever gone to an entertainment park like Six Flags Over Texas or some of the places in Florida, Disney World, wherever, you'll see long lines waiting to have fun. These children wait patiently in line. We have to organize them so you can apportion the soup and not just create chaos. And they stand there. And Betty, when I looked at that long line, and you and I have been there when we ran out of food, and the kids would crawl into the barrel and start scraping it. And any that had fallen in the dirt, like had, say, come out of the scoop and fell on the ground, they scooped it up. You began to pray. I remember when you started. You're looking at our viewers and you said, I'm praying that the line to feed the children will always be longer than the line to be fed. Mm-hmm. And Betty, we saw the miracle with our viewers. That's why we're saying to you right now, a gift of $30, $50, or $100 still feeds 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. Please understand that. You may be able to give several thousand dollars. And you know what, Betty? Our viewers are going to do it because God answered your prayer. The line is longer. And I'm praying you'll get your bank card, use it like a check, go online or dial that number, and make the gift God put on your heart. Make the largest gift. I'm always going to say, stretch your ability. You know, feeding 3 is a miracle to 3. But if you could feed 10, please do. If you could feed 100, please do. Give $1,000. Whatever you can do. Betty, I believe they're going to do it.
I believe you will, too. I know you will. You've done it before, and you're going to join with us again. Let's please get the nourishment to these children so that they have an opportunity in life to grow up and know Jesus for the first time. Please join with us. Let's do it right now.
You know, that really is the truth, too. Because they see the love of God, they're ready to hear about it. They've seen it demonstrated by you. Please, right now, if you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail, would you? Or use your bank card like a check. Go online or dial the number. Thank you so much for giving life. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts in behalf of all those whose miracle you make possible.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Also, please consider an extra gift to help immediately rebuild malnutrition clinics destroyed by record flooding in South Sudan. This urgent need is $392,000 above our normal feeding budget and is critical to help save the lives of those who are suffering most. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Christmas Grace. This eye-opening new 31-day devotional will give you a fresh perspective on the greatest gift ever given and the life-transforming hope found in Christ's birth. With your gift of $100 or more, request the Love and Thanks Tumbler set. With scriptures reminding us that God's love never fails and to always give thanks, these tumblers will keep drinks hot or cold wherever you go. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I'm believing that the line right now to help all the children in different areas is in fact longer than the line to be fed. Bonnie is a miracle story. Her website again, sweetlikejasmine.com. And she says she'll send you, let me see your workbook, she will send you this free and to just bless you. So you may say, James, you've got some gifts you're sending us, and they're pretty nice gifts. We go there, you're saying she'll do this for us? Well, she will. Thank you for sharing, Bonnie. God bless you, and you keep pointing people to Jesus.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Betty, so much.
Well, it's a joy to share your story with so many. Thank you for watching Life Today, and as I say all the time, thanks for sharing life today, because you really do.
Like me.
Blair Lynn's birth certificate had no father listed, and her mother almost had her aborted. Finding My Father, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.